This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are glad to join together in this time of prayer and devotion.
Our Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to release the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. And from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus called Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he answered, "Here I am." "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief of priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God."
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John. If you will remember, I believe it was last week, I said I think the easiest way to think about John is to think of it as poetry. That is, metaphor, wordplay, allusions. If you remember, I had that line from Emily Dickinson that we all had to read in high school, "Tell all the truth, but tell it slant." Success and circuit lies, meaning don't just come right out and say something and make it easy for everybody. Hint at it and give people room to think about it for themselves. So here we have from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, beginning with verse 1 through verse 19. Jesus has appeared after his resurrection. He has appeared to the disciples. After these things, that is, Jesus' previous appearance with the disciples, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." My beloved, this is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. And now I would invite the youngest of our disciples to join us here at the front. I believe Miss Jennifer has a word or two for us now.
We brought something else with us today, not just Jesus, but we brought a sheep. Yeah. So have you ever had mom or dad tell you something one time and you kind of listened? And then they told you again a second time and you thought, yeah, okay. And then they told you the third time and you knew you better be listening, right? Well, that's kind of what happened in our story. First, Jesus talks to Peter and he says, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep." Did Jesus have sheep that walked around with him too? He didn't, did he? Wonder what he was talking about. And then he said it a second time, "Do you love me? Take care of my sheep. Feed my lambs." Do that. And then Peter said, "Yes, I will. I do. And I will." Well, Jesus wasn't talking about sheep. Although at the time, in the place and the time where Jesus was, sheep were pretty important. And everybody knew about sheep and they knew about shepherds. They knew that shepherds were caring and loving for their sheep. They showed them where to go. They took care of them. They made sure they had everything they need. They wanted the best for their sheep and they loved them. And that's what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, take care of my people. Take care of my people. And he said, there are hungry people all over our world today who are hungry for food, but also hungry for the love that Jesus can give us. And so Jesus was asking Peter and asking us, take care of my sheep. Take care of people. Do those things that show my love to other people. Tell other people about the love and hope that I give to them. And there are lots of places in the Bible that talk about sheep and shepherds. And there is something inside this room that also reminds us of it. Does anybody see it? What do you think? Yep, go ahead. Yep, there's Jesus right there in our stained glass windows. And you know what? Sometimes I think of myself as that little lamb that Jesus is holding. Some days I have days when I'm sad or tired or I just really need a hug. Anybody ever feel like that? And that's when I kind of think of myself as that lamb. And sometimes I might be the lamb over on the side that's, all right, show me where to go, Jesus. I'm ready. I'm following you. And then there's sometimes that there's some other sheep back there that just don't know where Jesus is, maybe. And that's what our job is, to go tell those sheep about God, about the love that Jesus has for us. And so I like that window a lot because that reminds me of this story and some of the other stories as well. Helps me to remember that I've got work to do too, and I need to listen to Jesus. Like Peter was told three times. Well, if we talk about this story enough, we're told lots and lots and lots of times, aren't we? Yeah. Well, let's take a little moment and let's help us to remember this story and the words that Jesus has said to us. Let's take a moment to pray. Loving and gracious God, we ask that you would help us to help your people. Help them know about your love. Help them know about your word. Help them know about all the stories that you have that tell us more about you and more about how we need to be in the world. We ask that you would help us to help everyone that we meet this week and help us to remember the love that you give to us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, children, for being a part of this today. I want us to do something, okay? I want you to just sort of play along with me for just a minute. I want us to all breathe together. Okay, we're going to breathe in, and then we're going to breathe out, all right? Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. In, out. Okay, we got that down, right? We know how to do that. We're pretty good at this. Breathing is normal. We know how to do this. Now what I would like us to do is to breathe in and then hold your breath. Hold your breath until you can't hold your breath anymore or until I say it's okay to breathe again. Are you ready? Okay. Breathe in. Y'all were breathing, weren't you? Yes, you were breathing. You were breathing, guys. I'm sure you were. It feels okay for a moment, doesn't it? But to hold our breath indefinitely pretty soon gets painful, right? We all know how to breathe. Breathing isn't hard. It's something we do all the time. But holding our breath indefinitely, now that is difficult. I want you to just put that in the back of your mind for for just a minute, okay? Hang on to that. Don't forget it. I'm going to come back to it in just a moment. Now, Paul is on his way to Damascus, and he is bound and determined that he is going to persecute the followers of Jesus, and nothing is going to stop him except Jesus. Jesus sort of stops him in his tracks, if you will. And then Paul spends 3 days without sight and without food or drink. What does that make you think of? 3 days, darkness, neither food nor drink. That makes you think of something, right? Yeah, it's supposed to. Okay. Ananias shows up. They talk. They pray, scales fall from Paul's eyes, he gets up, he is baptized, and then he gets something to eat. And then what does Paul do? Does he hang around the house? Does he practice meditation? Does he spend his time avidly studying Torah? No. Paul goes to the synagogue and loudly proclaims to anyone who will listen that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus and Peter are walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus says to him 3 times, Peter, do you love me? Peter replies 3 times, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And each time Jesus says something along the lines of, tend my sheep, feed my lambs, watch out for the flock. Be the good and gentle shepherd who leads the flock to the green pastures. Now, as we've just heard, Jesus didn't have a flock over there off stage somewhere, right? This is a figure of speech. There's that poetry thing. Miss Jennifer brought it out for us. It's people. Peter is supposed to tend to people. Jesus isn't talking about sheep. He's talking about people. And not only that, he's not just talking to Peter, is he? Because he's talking to us. He's talking to all of those who call Jesus their Lord and Savior. All of those who have come face to face with the risen Jesus, who recognize his leadership. We are to care for others. We are to be the shepherd, tending to those sheep. In our Old Testament lesson, the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord God has fallen upon the servant of the Lord. And why is the Spirit of God fallen on the servant of the Lord? So that the servant can bask in a warm glow? So that she can smile enigmatically to herself and think warm thoughts? In order that he can tuck that memory down deep in his heart and periodically pull it out? Like a fond memory of days gone by? No, that's not what we're told, are we? The Spirit of the Lord God is appointed on me, has anointed me, so that I may bring good news, to bind up, to proclaim, to release, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort those who mourn, to provide for those who mourn, to give them goodness, to display the Lord God's glory. That is why the Spirit of God rests upon the servant. This is what we do, isn't it? We who have come face to face with Jesus, we who have recognize Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. We who have felt the Spirit of God fall upon us, we are to tend others. We are to bring good news to the world. It is something that we cannot keep inside of ourselves. We have to let it out. It's like breathing. We can't just breathe it in. We have to also breathe it out. Think, if you will, of the blood flowing through your body, right? Your blood circulates through the body. The heart pumps the blood into the lungs oxygenate the blood then flows through all the body, taking all that rich oxygen. And when the blood is depleted of oxygen, what happens? The heart again pumps the blood into the lungs. The blood is reoxygenated. The heart pumps the blood back out, and the cycle begins again. In, out. In, out. This is worship. This is worship, isn't it? In worship, we come and are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are reminded of how much God loves us. We are once again brought face to face with the living Jesus through the proclamation, through the sacraments, through the singing of hymns and the prayers. We are enriched in our souls with the goodness of God. And then the worship service pushes us back out. The worship service pushes us out into the mission field of the world around us. And there we tend to God's children. But after a few days of tending, after a few days of sharing the goodness of God's love, after a few days of bringing the good news of release to those who are being held captive by their past mistakes or by the evils of the world, after spending time comforting those who are in mourning, whether for themselves or for others or for humanity generally, we are depleted, and we come back to worship. And in worship, we are again filled with the goodness of God. And we are again pushed out of worship into the world. This is what we as Christians do, isn't it? This is how we as Christians live. We are filled with the goodness of God. And we cannot keep it to ourselves any more than we can hold our breath forever. We have to let it out. And then we come back in and are filled with it again. In, out. In, out. My friends, may we do it well. Amen.
Thank you for joining with us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street, and we have in-person worship at 9 a.m.